Hi guys, happy weekend and welcome to another episode of The Lightroom. I am super excited to have you here this evening. If you're a returning subscriber, I'm so glad to hear you in my morning prayers every day. I'm so happy to have you here. Thank you for sticking around. If this is the first time you're watching my video or hearing my voice, I'm so glad you found me as well. Let me know in the comment section how you found me, what brought you to this channel. I'll really, really love to know. And please don't forget to subscribe before you leave. Last week, I spoke on a topic, a very interesting one, because even after I released the video, I had conversations with a number of you, and it was just so interesting to hear your feedback in real time and also kind of like delve into intricacies of the conversation. Last week, I talked on gossip and slander and how as believers, gossip should not be heard amongst us. It should not be a part of our culture. I also talked about how it usually starts off innocent, like gists. You know, many of you could relate to secondary school just being sweet, your friends being able to narrate stories or even movies as just. So I'm so glad that it was a relatable episode and many of you could, you know, get the drift. From last week's episode, I got a question and Praise was asking, how do I differentiate between ranting, maybe ranting to my friend about something that happened to me, and gossip? And I'll give you a personal example and story to just help drive that point home before I get to the crux of today's video. So some time ago, I went for an event, and when I got in, one of the people working as an usher at the door was particularly rude to me, like really rude. And at that moment, I knew that God had worked on my heart because I didn't even have the strength or desire to answer her or engage in the discourse, because it was just weird and rude. Like, you don't know me from anywhere. Like, why were you talking like that? So I just let it go and went to my seat and just told God, like, I don't like how this conversation made me feel. And I feel wronged that I did not get to retaliate. But I just, you know, let it slide and I let it go. I was at the event with a friend, and I didn't mention anything to her about it till like the end of the event, when I was sure that this thing wasn't getting to me as much. And when I was relating what happened to her, like, oh, this is what happened today, I felt really bad about it, I did not mention the name of the person. I didn't even know the name of the person at the time. I did not try to point who the person was. I just told her, this is what happened and this is how it made me feel. And seeing that I'd already talked to the Lord about what happened, later in the day, the person that offended me came back to apologize. That was a pleasant surprise, because it doesn't always happen that somebody will offend you outside and come back to apologize. So this person came back to apologize that, oh, she didn't mean to be rude, she didn't mean to sound that way and everything. And because I had talked to the Lord about it, like I had let it go, it was easier to banter about it, that, oh, I get, maybe it's the stress of ushering or whatever, whatever. And we just laughed about it. And I even found out that we were namesakes. So it was interesting. Now, my husband, that virtually knows everything that happens to me in a day, did not get to know about that event till like 2-3 days after it happened. And by that time, when I was gisting him, there was no animosity. It was just like, ah, this is what happened, though. And I found it really interesting. And you know how you can gist somebody that, I don't know why people are like this, I don't know why this person be talking to me like that, do they know who I am? You know, that's one way to give gist. The other way is, oh, I went somewhere did this, and then later the person came back to apologize. Like, your mannerisms are everything. Your choice of words are everything. When you see this person again, how do you see that person? Like, one thing that helped me know that I had forgiven and I had forgotten was that when I saw her again, I wasn't seeing her and prioritizing the fact that she had offended me first. What I was choosing to prioritize and remember is that I laughed with this person. She is my namesake. It was a mistake and we are over it. Do you get so? Even in your ranting, let love lead. Even in your ranting, don't be bitter. Like, it's okay to talk to your friends about what offended you. But when you notice that it's starting to get bitter, you notice that it's starting to result to you using unloving words, harsh words, just call yourself to order and maybe tell your friend, this thing's annoying me too much, let's talk about it later, or something like that. Okay, so to today's video, it's just kind of spiraling from last week's video, and it's on expletives and swear words. Yes. In many circles, oddly, it's debated, should Christians use swear words? Are swear words wrong? I mean, there's no place in Jeconiah chapter 1 verse 1 that says if you use the F word, S word, MF word, like all the letters have their own words. Like if you use these words, you go to hell. Or if you use this particular word, the Lord will smite you dead. Or things like that. You don't find specific words like that in scripture. Well, we have a mention to four in the New Testament, but we don't have words like the F word, the S word, and all of that. But like many other things, there are underlying principles for us to operate by as believers. But before I even get into that, let's clearly define expletives, right? So according to the Collins English Dictionary, an expletive is an exclamation or a swear word, an oath or a sound expressing an emotional reaction rather than a particular meaning. So maybe you were trying to describe something that happened to somebody and then you were at loss for words and then you used a swear word just to convey the weight of the moment. Or maybe you're walking somewhere and something drops on your leg. You don't have any words to describe the pain. You use a swear word or you use an expletive. So that's basically how to define expletives. That's what they fall under. Now, what is wrong with expletives? I was watching an Instagram video a couple of weeks ago, and then there was this. So it was a family setting, a mother, her husband, or a wife, her husband, and then their little baby. Not baby, it was like 3 years old. And then the little toddler used an expletive, right? And then you could see the shock on the parent's face, right? And it's just so funny how there was no way that child would have known the expletive if it was not commonly used around the house or with people that came around the child. And with a shock on their baby's face, you could see that that was a word that the parents did not want that baby to grow up saying, or even saying at that point in time. So it makes me question, why do we kind of apologize sometimes after we use swear words? Why don't we want it to be heard amongst children? Why won't we use it in certain circles? Why won't you talk to somebody you deeply respect and use an expletive? Why, like, there are just so many questions around it that border on, are these words edifying? And there is a benchmark that I particularly have when it comes to the words you use and how you use those words. If you would not use these words in relating to your Lord and Savior, I strongly believe that you shouldn't use it at all. And you may be like, oh, Pisomi, you're going too far. Why are we bringing Jesus into it? Let me show you what Jesus says in Matthew 25, verse 36. I'm reading from the ESV. He says, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous would answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king would answer them, truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of my brothers, you did to me. So this is a very popular scripture on how Jesus related to how Jesus was speaking about how we treat others. And when we treat others around us in kindness, we've shown him kindness in a form. So it just serves as a benchmark for me, and I think it should serve as that for you as well. Words that I will not be proud to use if I could see Jesus face to face. Words I will not be proud to use in conversations with the Lord. I shouldn't use it in my everyday conversations, because think about it. You may not be able to see the Lord physically, but he lives in you by his Spirit. So if you are his temple, you should not only filter your words in a church setting or when you can tangibly feel his presence. Because he dwells in you, your words should always be seasoned by grace and with salt. And then you want to say, well, my parents use these words and then we don't have an issue with it. Or even my pastor uses these words and we don't have an issue with it. He's not trying to be disrespectful or anything. And this is where I'll draw the line with that. when the word of God clearly gives us directions, let your words be seasoned with grace and salt, keep corrupt words out of your mouth. When the word of God gives us clear-cut instructions like that, never let any other person's example trump the word of God. Many times you use this expletive to express, you know, a moment of anger or an outburst, but in many conversations and in many situations, the use of expletives is not filtered by the fruit of the Spirit. Like, you can't argue that the use of expletives are always in line in love, or they are used patiently, or they are used gently. Like, they don't directly correlate with the fruit of the Spirit in you. So these words you're about to use, are they filled with love? These words they're about to use, do they show that the Holy Ghost is in you and He works gentleness in you? Do they show that the Holy Ghost in you works patience? Does it show that the Holy Ghost in you has changed your desires? Because the truth is, your Christian friends may be able to excuse you, but there are people that are not Christian, but also have a moral high standing. How do you represent the Lord to them when they are even more morally upright, quote unquote, than you are, and you say you are filled with the Holy Ghost? You say you have the Spirit of the Lord inside you that purifies you. Now, if this is something you're actively trying to change, I mean, the Holy Ghost can help you with this. He can work this same miracle of change desires in you. But first and foremost, you need to realize that it is something worth changing in the first place. Another kind of expletive, quote unquote, that we use without knowing is taking the Lord's name in vain. There was one day, I can't remember what happened. I think I was talking to my husband about something and I said, "Oh Jesus," or something like that. And then my husband jokingly replied and said, "Why did you call Jesus? What did Jesus do to you?" Yeah, he was joking, but it rang a bell in my head, because Exodus 27 says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." So when you're not, stop trying to use the name of Lord as gap fillers. Like, I know when you are saying things like, "God, I beg," it could be a genuine heartfelt cry for help in that moment, but just always catch yourself at the right time when you're just beginning to miss Yan, or you're just beginning to say the one you're not supposed to say. Be quick to catch yourself in the middle and just make adjustments whenever necessary. Another thing that I would say, and man, fight me. But many times when you find yourself using a lot of expletives, it may just be a sign that your vocabulary is poor. Because why is there a swear word in every sentence of yours? And you're saying like, "Ah, it's the best way for me to describe myself." My dear, it's not. The best way for you to describe yourself is by communicating clearly and better. You trying to fill the gaps in your vocabulary by swear words will not take you too far. What happens when you are with a respected person and you have to, you know, speak well, even if you're not using big words, at least speak proper sentences? But no, you've built a habit of filling every clause with a swear word. Like, how do you cope in those situations? And trust me, while this may sound like a shade, it may be a shade, but while it may sound like a shade, trust me, there are ways out. Number one, reading would help you. Like, reading is not reserved for school. Read articles, read novels, read books. I mean, just spend good time reading. It could be 10 minutes a day, it could be 1 hour a week. It could just be practicing reading, or even listening to people that talk well. Trust me, it rubs off on you. It does rub off on you. When you read, you have a wider vocabulary to use. So you would find so many words that you did not even know could express your feelings better when you start to read. So please, I beg you, read, build your vocabulary. You can express yourself much better without using expletives. Another way to stop using expletives is actually talking to the Lord about it. The Lord is our Father and He is so present. So when you find yourself struggling with any part of your walk with the Lord, any part of consecration to the Lord, take it to Him in prayer. That, "Lord, I struggle to express myself when I'm angry. I find myself using swear words. I find myself using words that I'm not very proud of. Would you help me with this?" Trust me, the Lord can and He will help you. He's able to work the miracle of change desires in your heart. Like, I cannot overemphasize that. God is able to do that. Another thing to do to help you stop using expletives is filter your influences. If you're always watching movies where from act one scene one they've used like 10,000, I'm kidding, they've used like so many expletives already, you may feel like, oh, this is just entertainment, this is just entertainment. But many times we pick up a good portion of our vocabulary from the movies we watch, from the books we read, from the company we keep. So filter your influences, cut off those movies, cut off those associations that will not let you breathe, will not allow you be the Christian that the Lord wants you to be. If you have friends that can't communicate without using 1,001 expletives, first of all, try having conversations with these friends. That guy, can we kind of work on the way you talk together? Like, I just have conversations with your friend. I don't think this thing is befitting for you. I think you can speak better. I think you can communicate better without expletives. You can even share this video with them and just like banter about the topic afterwards. But filter your influences. It's more important than you think. It's something I personally do. No matter how interesting a movie is, if it is filled with cuss words or filled with sex scenes or even kissing scenes, just count me out. That's why I like Mount Zion movies. You not stress me. I don't need to filter 1,001 things to enjoy a good show or enjoy a good movie. So I hope that this video has, you know, answered this question for you. If it was a question to you, I hope you've learned one or two things from this. If you have any question, let me know in the comment section. But above all, remember that God would have you be his representative here on earth. And everything that is not in line with you being a representative is able to help you cut off. So this series is not to list 1,001 things that you shouldn't do, but helping you see the light of God to expose those areas that God will not have you walk in. So expose those areas that your life now as a believer is in direct contradiction with, and you should no longer walk in those areas. So thank you so much for sticking to the end of this video. I would see you in my next video next week. Have an awesome, awesome, awesome weekend. Bye, everyone.